Growing up, I drank the Kool-Aid of my parents' and community's beliefs. I made that belief system more important than my own needs and happiness. Looking back, I can't fault anyone for that, not even quote-unquote God. I now have clarity in decisions and choices I make. I'm fully engaged in finding joy in my life, in my own way, without the influence and construct of others. This is an uplifting discussion from there to now. Oh, hello everyone. This is Heather Mongi, and I'm here today with Shelley Haynes.
Hello, Heather Mongi and everyone.
Hello. It's great to have you here. I am adjusting my speaker and pasty on my microphone. Or rather, microphone and pasty. Is that what that's called?
I've never used one before.
Microphone or a pasty?
Shelley?
I've never used a pasty before. Cause, you know, I bought some one time. And actually, they didn't stick. And one fell down and was on the dance floor. And I had to incorporate picking it up into my dance move.
Oh, wow. That sounds embarrassing, but yet really exciting and very creative, which is what I know about Shelley. Actually, this is such a great way for me to introduce you, is because I see you as such a highly creative person. And I see you problem solving in such a creative way as a commercial broker. And I'm so impressed with all of these amazing things about you. And then I have the pleasure of working with her at White Crow Real Estate. And so she is my very first interviewee. My pasty's not sticky.
I'm sorry.
I'm making bumper stickers now that say that. What's that sticker say?
My pasty's not what?
Sticky.
That is a problem. Anyhow, okay. I'm really grateful to be working with you for the last 2 years. And in the meantime, we've developed a really fabulous friendship and we've had lots of fun and I've got to know you so well. And of course, Shelley is the first one I go to and say, hey, I'm doing a podcast about drinking the Kool-Aid. And what Kool-Aid did you drink? And she had the most amazing, insightful response that I can completely concur with. And I'm sure with most women can as well.
Well, Heather, thank you for having me as your first podcast pasty. I think the Kool-Aid that I drank was trying to be perfect, a perfect girl, a perfect role model, a perfect daughter, wife, whatever. And realizing that I just couldn't match up to what I thought I needed to be. I think I told you I spent a great deal of time in juvenile hall as a young girl.
Forget it. I just lost the pasty again.
Yeah. Yeah, just forget it. Anyhow, while I was in juvenile hall, I spent a lot of time reading romance novels. So I was really hoping that I would turn out to be a busty, auburn hair, green-eyed girl, because she always wound up with multiple orgasms and with the hottest guy that swept her away on his big white steed.
Would it be this pose on the cover of the book?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, it was
that. Hold on.
Hey, let me get a super wide. There we go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was something just like that. So, anyhow, it didn't work out. I turned out to be a squatty girl.
I think I say squatty potty. I was like, oh, wow, is that how that happened? Yeah.
Anyhow, it didn't turn out that way, but I tried to make it up with being super talented in dance and music and sewing and cooking. And I thought, oh, I might just be the perfect wife after all, and everything will be wonderful. And so I had my first marriage and my son, and all that didn't work out.
So would you blame the romance novels for that?
No. I would blame, what would I blame? I would blame me thinking that I didn't really have to be as deep as I needed to be or figure out what Shelley really liked or what Shelley was passionate at. I believed I was looking for a man that was capable of taking me around the world or providing a great life, and all I needed to be was cute and talented, and I would make a beautiful baby and all, and then everything would be good. And no.
Did you have any examples of that?
examples of
the marriage bliss and complacency?
I still don't understand the question.
Well, did you observe that with anyone else wanting or desiring the same thing?
Oh, yeah. Just about every other girl that's 20-something years old.
Yes.
Especially, and then I moved to Southern Utah around the same time I was married, just a year, and we were pregnant with Elliot, and came to a conservative area where I grew up as a little, a hippie girl from California. So I super duper observed it on steroids. Women trying to be this perfect little thing and men trying to be the perfect little thing, the perfect guy thing too. So yeah.
To play the roles.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And life just isn't like that.
It is not. When did you discover that? That life wasn't like that. That it was a Kool-Aid.
When I realized my boobs weren't as big as everybody else's. No, just kidding.
Well, it is an epidemic in Utah generally, not just Southern Utah. There are a prolific amount of fake boobs.
There are. I realized it when I was just so unhappy and couldn't make the situation better doing what I was doing. I knew I had to do something different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely understand that too, because I grew up reading romance novels and I loved them and I subscribed to it. And then I would meet a guy that I was interested in and then I would assign a role to him to behave or be something, and he couldn't live up to that. And so it is quite the conundrum it creates with this fairy tale that we have in our minds on what our roles are to be and how things should be. And I feel like, honestly, Disney doesn't contribute or help with that. At least Disney prior to 2020, you see the fairy tale story in there and meeting the love of your life and then being swept off your feet. So I feel like that's around us and we're inundated by it. And it is hopefully something that we all come to awareness on. I mean, have you encountered any other women who have talked about this particular thing or have expressed the fact that they have removed the blinders and see the light?
Absolutely. And the real tragedy is when you figure it out, and what do you do? You're in it. You've got kids. You've got mortgages. You're screwed. Getting out sounds worse than staying in.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's... You almost need like an AA for getting out of that fairy tale and getting out of a religion, getting out of anything, any
Kool-Aid
belief system that doesn't serve you any longer,
right?
Or never served you to begin with. But you got yourself in a pickle. So, yeah, getting out of it is the hard part.
Mm-hmm. I found myself in the same situation. My fairy tale, though, was a little bit more Mormon, and it involved. Sorry, you guys, we were laughing so hard before this podcast that we need to clear our throats still. But I subscribed to the Mormon fairy tale that I needed to go to BYU, and then I would meet my husband there, and then we would get married, and then we would have kids, and then I would support him in his career, and then he would make money, and then we would buy a house, and then we'd graduate to a larger house, and then we would have a perfect house, and everything was perfectly decorated. And we would entertain people at our house and have dinner. And that shattered, too.
Wow. So overdone, though, don't you think?
You mean for me or just in general?
Just in general.
Okay. I mean, yeah, maybe I do things overdone.
No, you definitely do. But I just meant that whole ideology is just boring. I think that maybe people are finally getting it. That's why kids are diversifying so much. So
it does seem like it, that people aren't subscribing to that as much. And I have a niece at Utah Tech, I want to say Dixie. and she has been talking to me about that, and she's now 21 and she doesn't have a desire to get married, and she's really excited about building her career and graduating, and she's really excited about dating and meeting an assortment of people and just enjoying life in her 20s. And it doesn't seem as though she is as subscribed to a fairy tale per se. I don't even know, are romance books even a thing amongst girls now?
I don't even know if you can say that. I mean, girls, boys, and who's really in them? Are they boy girls or Girl boys or
boy boy?
Boy boy.
Girl girl.
Sorry, I forgot that one.
What
else? I don't know. I don't know.
Well, that would be a really interesting thing to do. Maybe I'll just do my own little self-poll and see who is reading romance novels now between the ages of 14 and 24.
Do you remember Judy Blume?
Yes.
I used to masturbate to Judy Blume.
No, you didn't.
I did. I did. Didn't you?
No.
Oh, you didn't masturbate till you're 18?
No. Oh, wait.
25?
19. 19. It was on accident, too.
How do you masturbate on accident?
I'm really serious. I mean, okay, I'll tell
me
a story.
About it. All right. You probably didn't masturbate because you thought it was bad.
Yeah,
you were drinking
exactly.
The Kool-Aid that you would.
Yeah, masturbating
go blind
was bad. I never even thought about it. And I never even looked at my
vagina.
I want to say pussy.
Hoo-ha.
But JJ.
Does she have a name?
No. Does yours?
Yes.
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 She's using her gut on that answer.
Okay, I'm sorry I interrupted you. Tell me about your first masturbation on accident.
Well, I was living in the dorms, Deseret Towers, and I was in a room. It was a single room, single bed. It cost more. Thank you, Dad, for paying for that. So I had my own space. And I remember waking up in the middle of the night orgasming, and my hand was on my clit. I was like, oh, my gosh, what's going on with me right now? I was like, oh, my, is this an orgasm?
Did you do it again?
No.
What?
Because it was bad. Shelly's assistant's looking at me.
Do you still feel shame to this day when you masturbate?
Absolutely not.
Oh, okay.
In fact, I talked to my daughter about masturbating. I'm like, why don't you masturbate?
How do you know she doesn't?
She won't. Who knows? There's a lot of things I don't know. I also had a dream where I smoked a cigarette and I woke up and I was horrified and I thought I had sinned.
So are you off the Kool-Aid or do you still see remnants of your shame?
It is layers and layers of deprogramming. But I left the church in 2010 and for really, really reasons that I had to justify for because I was getting divorced. And of course, the church supports staying married. And I had already tried to get divorced from my ex-husband 5 years in and was convinced to stay married to him for because I was going to be a good example to my sister by staying married to him. And also, too, because that's what the prophet said. And because he's such a nice guy. And I was deeply unhappy, but I made it work. And at least for another 10 more years, 9 more years, and 2 kids later, and him in a career and separating everything. But I'm so glad that I made that decision then. And I knew that I needed to leave the church because the church was the reason why I had to stay married to him. And it was one of the best things I've done. And so it's taken years of deprogramming and unlayering. And I still catch myself in sometimes prudish thoughts or prudish moments. And I'm like, why am I acting like this or behaving like this? But I seek out to be as non-judgmental as possible because everyone has their own beat to the drum. You know, they all have their own, you know.
Drum beat?
Drum to the beat of their drum? Beat to the drum? Just kidding.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
Woo! Shelly, would you like to share any other insights today on your fairy tale Kool-Aid that you were drinking? Or any thoughts that you might or advice you could give to people who how to, I guess, step outside of that Kool-Aid or to see that they are drinking a Kool-Aid? And is there any detoxing that they can do? Maybe masturbating?
I definitely believe everyone should masturbate, except my husband, without me being there to watch like a perv in the corner. Just kidding.
Not
yes,
kidding.
I do have some advice. I got some really good advice when I was trying to leave what I thought would be horrible if my child ever had a step parent or being raised by a single mom or whatever weirdo system that I believed. And my therapist at the time told me, just imagine yourself 5 years from now in the same situation. And immediately I went, right, awful. And then imagine yourself 5 years from now by yourself. And I went, oh, man. And it was really good to just sit and visualize that, because if you don't do anything different, you're going to be in the same situation. Mm-hmm. You're going to still be miserable, and your husband's still going to be doing something that you don't like or doesn't fit your happiness. Yeah. I believe we only get one chance, and we're wasting time when you're not happy.
Agreed.
So find your happy.
Yes. Find yourself.
And drink really good Kool-Aid.
I love Kool-Aid. Mm-hmm. In certain forms. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Shelley, for joining us today.
Oh,
or I guess rather joining me and my silent producer over here, who I guess is an us.
Oh, I'll chime in if you want me to chime in. I'm happy to chime in.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Let's hear some thoughts.
Where do you want to start?
Masturbation.
Okay.
That was a really fast okay.
Usually how it starts.
We told Shelly's assistant she can't make any sounds, and she's dying over here trying not to make a sound.
She snorted in silence a second ago. That seems to be one of the first things that people do when they leave certain Kool-Aid organizations is like, oh my gosh, I did the Harry Palm touchy-touchy thing. And then it's like you go talk to somebody and shame on you, shame on you. Or the pendulum swings and it's like, this was kind of nice. And then you go the other way.
I don't know how it could be bad. So I've never had a bad sesh.
So Heather, you said you did it by accident. You were at BYU. Did you go talk to your bishop afterwards and be like, hey, this thing happened? Were you that entrenched where you're like, I need to confess this inadvertent sin that happened?
No, thank goodness. Sorry, this microphone just seems really in my face. Mm-hmm. Just watching Shelly's face as I play with it.
Yeah. My pasty's still in place.
My pasty's on the ground. No, I guess I wasn't so entrenched in the Kool-Aid. I definitely, I think, felt like that was a private moment, and I kept it a private moment, I think, for the longest time. I don't know who I told until, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago. Honestly, I have really stepped into just being as authentic and just real as possible, and maybe that is to a fault, but I like to just keep things real to give everyone else permission to be real, because I feel like most of it is a song and dance of fakeness with each other. So that was probably about 10 years ago. So I would say I confessed it to someone. I can't remember who by then, but it was once a private, beautiful moment between me and my finger.
When did you start doing it regularly? And did you orgasm with your husband? And have you had a lesbian experience? Have you tried the big A?
Any other questions?
No, I'll stop now. Oh, wait, it's not my podcast.
Sorry. That's for the
We're waiting on answers.
What was the first one? Oh, when did I start regularly?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I started regularly masturbating when I took the Kim Anami vagina kung fu class. And it was about motto.
Say that again.
I was going to say, I want to take that class.
I understood and some words I didn't.
It's so fucking awesome. Did you not understand vagina?
No, that's the one I understood. Oh.
I knew it.
Kim Anami?
Kim Anami.
Is that a boy or a girl?
A girl. Mm. And she calls it the vagina kung fu class. And she has a motto, you meditate, masturbate, and create. And she really believes that your womb is a huge creative center, which according to the chakra system, it is. And she said, when you really just tap into sexuality with your own body and not rely on someone else and to get to know your body and your orgasms and you can orgasm in so many different ways. And I think a lot of it is kind of beginners for women because it's such a taboo for women to even orgasm or even know how to orgasm or know anything about their bodies. And then they rely on a guy to show them something about their bodies and how to have sex. And it's really them that understand their bodies and know what makes them orgasm or squirt or all of those things. And so
did you say squirt?
I did. I knew that would get your attention.
Say it again.
Squirt. Sorry.
Oh no, don't be. I brought in extra towels.
Did you know this broadcast podcast was gonna be about masturbation?
Who knew? Should we just like divide this segment up into say Kool-Aid : masturbation? Because that is a Kool-Aid too, that people think masturbation is bad and wrong. Even people who aren't religious Why is that? And so anyway, she really teaches to actually come up with a daily practice where you masturbate and you meditate and then you create. And it can be creation in music, art, writing. So I've gotten into the practice of doing that daily.
Before this podcast?
Yeah. Actually, I do it once or twice a day. Right on. I had to think about it. I was like, what time of day did I do it?
Well,
I guess this wraps up this podcast. Are we only 4 minutes and 54 seconds in?
No, you got 4 minutes left.
Oh, I was like, wow, time flew. That was so much fun. Is there any other insight you'd like to share before we wrap this?
I can't think of anything. I need to go to the bathroom now.
Okay.
I gotta go rub one out.
She's like, I've got to go to the bathroom. I know what that means.
I'm just kidding.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for joining us today. I hope this was enlightening and very fascinating. And please join us some more. It may be inappropriate or not appropriate, but very interesting. Thank you for listening to the I Drink the Kool-Aid podcast. Join us next time. If you'd like to participate in this discussion, get a hold of us at idrinkthekoolaidpodcast@gmail.com. Now let me ask you, what flavor of Kool-Aid are you drinking?
This has been a production from a podcast studio.